too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Golfania 152. I know you're wondering. That's a great riff. I know you're wondering what song that is, because you know the riff. Let me walk you backwards into how I got this song. By the way, hey, welcome to the show. Golfania 152. 152. On the Matt Wiley Sports Network. Exclusively on the Matt Wiley Sports Network. I was in a little bit of a rut with music for a while because nothing had really hit me that I wanted to play differently. And so I went to Alt-J, and they have a song, Dancing in the Moonlight. Alt-J is a great band. And they use a riff at about a minute 30 in the song, that one from that song. And I love it. And I thought, what song is it from the 80s that is that riff? And thank God for Reddit, because I figured out the artist, you want to know it? It's Bronski Beat, Small Town Boy. That's the song. Great track. I finally feel refreshed. I was in a lull with music. COVID got me down, man. Golflandia. Yeah, let's do a read. Here we go. DraftKings. DraftKings read. Completely unrehearsed, unprepared. Don't know what I'm going to read. I'm ready for it. Intro. : I don't read that part. We've all heard the rumors, but the wait is finally over. Fight Island is primed and ready to go. This Saturday, meaning this upcoming Saturday, the fighters will be taking their talents to Abu Dhabi for UFC 251. The lineup of fights this weekend is one of the best yet, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And by the way, DraftCheat, DC, very, very good follow on Twitter. I think he's doing something exclusive in DK MMA, or just MMA in general. So check him out. The leader in one-day fantasy sports is putting you in the center of the action starting this Thursday with a free shot at $1 million top prize. Man, DraftKings is just donating millions. Not donating, it's our money, but if you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at $1 million. But if MMA isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy golf action this week, and with $1 million up for grabs this week, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code GOLFLANDIA to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize for this weekend's UFC 251 contest with your first deposit. That's promo code GOLFLANDIA to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We also are doing our weekly DraftKings contest for us. There's tons of money this weekend on DraftKings Golf, by the way. I will say that UFC is fun to play. Pat Mayo, probably one of the most informative accounts to talk about MMA. I always text him about what I should do. But if not, play golf, man. $5 on our contest, single entry, no rake, weekly guaranteed, up to 300, maybe 400 this week. I have not yet released it. We've got our winner. Every winner gets a spot on the show. This week it's Dane. Not Dale. It's Dane. That's right, Dane. And I would have been talking to myself this week as the winner of my own contest. I did not play W. Gordon, Thank you, Cecil Peets, and the good folks at Hardos.org for that recommendation. Just kidding. That was mine. My thought only. My thoughts, my picks. Very close to the million this week. Very close, folks. So to the guy, Edward George Fondon 22, who tweeted at me, only following to fade you. Firstly, that's a little funny. But second of all, that is perma-bookmarked, my friend. And there are very few tweets that are permanently bookmarked in my library. That one is Edward George Fondon 22. Bookmarked, screenshot, saved in the vault, in the safe, in the lockbox at the bank. And to those people who liked it, like that tweet, G Pallets, I know. All committed to memory, my friends. But this week was, where was I going with that? Oh yeah, I didn't do too badly last week. I'm closer. I'm getting it. I'm understanding the breakdown here. Always play Hubbard is always play Hubbard, as we said last week. Bryson won, Hatton was up there, Hadwin, Hubbard. I said Samus 15 minutes before Locke. Might be the nuts. Basically, if you just say everyone, you're going to get some right. But Bryson wins. The good thing about Bryson, let me spend some time here on Bryson. DeChambeau. Bryson's winning tournaments, he should. That's big. It may not seem big, but in many of these instances, when you are the shortest priced in the field and definitely the most talented, it never seems to work out, both on Euro Tour, like Loughton this weekend, or even on the PGA. I mean, look back at Dustin Johnson at places like the RBC when he went off at 3.5 to 1, finished 20th. It just doesn't usually work out because of, you know, desire, you know, just not playing your best. But the guy is extremely motivated, obviously, to be the best. And he went out Sunday and covered a 3-shot deficit by the, third hole? He was leading. I mean, yeah, he's a little goofy, but he's 26. So was I goofy. So were all of us. And he's in a professional environment. He has got 24/7 coverage. I bust on him sometimes. Sure. He does some weird things. But imagine me at 26 or younger being in a professional environment on camera at that age. Of course I'm going to do dumb shit. Say dumb shit. I was taking, creatine at that age and had my own portable humidor. Humidor and a scotch collection. I don't smoke cigars and I hate scotch. What was the number one bottle in my scotch collection? $11 bottle of Grant's that I didn't drink. Portable humidor. The absolute low moment in my life. And there have been several. But that was a major oversold moment for Matthew J. Wiley. Portable humidor he used to take around with filled with $8 worth of cigars I couldn't afford. But that, I mean, if imagine your life being on camera at that age. At his core, though, he seems like a very, very nice young man, very affable person, giant human being. The thing was, and I won't dwell on this, but when he talked about, you know, when he yelled at the cameraman because he's trying to protect the field and protect his brand, that requires some analysis. In this day and age, you are your brand. It is an age of transparency in brand creation, and I've said this to a client today, there is not a lot of space, unlike previous decades or years, for smoke and mirrors. You will be found out. Your brand, whether it be product line, service line, or media personality, like or athlete, like Bryson, you will be found out. You cannot buy You cannot buy your influence. You are known. It is the age of exposure. It is the age of consumer review, real time. And you are a 24-hour-a-day content machine for all brands. You make your content, whether you like it or not, and your consumers make it for you. Some good, some bad. Honest is always the best angle. And just owning your shit. But someone as powerful and noteworthy and now as interesting to the media for gaining 280 pounds in a week by eating 50 pounds of bacon and milkshakes or shakes when he's on the golf course. And by the way, I took creatine, and guess what? This is very hot. It was such a hot concept when I was in my 20s. Take creatine, get big. You know what part I forgot to do? Yeah, the workout part. And I got FAT, fat. But someone like him, who is, you know, the scientist angle, the weight gain angle, he's interesting. You are, and you're going to be Ed TV, Truman Show, I am dating myself, 80s music, 90s movies references, creatine. Nice. But you are real time, 24 hours a day. You cannot bend PR in this day and age. There were guys who were assholes and weirdos, not saying he's that, but who could snap their fingers with their PR agent and their publicist and just switch the narrative literally overnight. It didn't happen. It wasn't on camera. It wasn't recorded. It didn't happen. You cannot do that today. You cannot bend the light that is your public relations, even as much as yelling at a cameraman, which may be a moment you're just blowing off steam. But you are your brand. That is the difference. You yell at volunteers or a cameraman just doing their job in 90-degree heat, sweating COVID. That is a you issue. It is maybe not unique to you. All of us have had bad moments. So have other golfers. So have other golfers historically. So have other golfers who were noteworthy historically. The problem is everything that you do, Bryson, even if it was a Troy Merritt who did it, it wouldn't have probably made news. But you are a spotlight. You are a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week vehicle for your own brand as a content creator in this world. And this real-time world, Twitter platform, which is a virtual comment section for analysis of everything in life, news, stocks, golf, sports, and brands, can make or it probably can't break you, but it can certainly hurt you. So, you know, if you want to do this stuff and get the spotlight, then you have to be very careful of how everything is perceived around you. If you are very particular and you want to protect your brand, then you got to think about you're in the limelight 24 hours a day. And just the best thing to do in that situation is not explain it away, just saying, it was a bad moment for me. I'm really sorry. Just like if he recorded himself all melancholic, eating bacon and going to the gym in his Bentley and starting this revolutionary path to getting yoked on camera. Hey, man, more power to you. But it's on film. And some people may think that's odd. But at the end of the day, he seems like a very nice young man who is incredible at golf and takes it really seriously. I would rather have someone like Bryson win the tournaments that are not in the easiest courses or not in the hardest courses in fields that are not the most challenging and win that way. At least he cares. He may care too much. But he's young. He'll grow out a lot of these things. Maybe regret some. He may be, I mean, listen, if I gained 280 pounds at that age, I would be 2 weeks away from my 400-pound life. I mean, imagine carrying that weight into your 30s or 40s. It's tough. I think I had 3 grapes today for food. 3. And 45 club sodas. And I've gained a pound. So there you go. I can tell you, though, someone like Josh Teeter would not have probably done that because he's the nicest person on earth. And what did I do to the nicest person on earth? I started playing games with my Twitter account about cut line, which I do every week. Estimating cut lines. And I do it because I know instantly someone is going to send a screenshot of predicted cut lines from a, you know, mathematical standpoint. It's not going to be -4. It's going to be -5 because 99% likelihood it's going to happen. I wait for that screenshot. Little did I know when I was saying that the cut line could go to -6 just to get everyone on tilt. Poor Josh was at -5 and really needed that cut. Much like when I said Finau should be 7.2K on DraftKings, which may be an accurate statement. And then the next day when he went 9 under or something to that effect, I said he should be 72K. I don't really mean that. Think of it as the character of an overreactionary bettor or fantasy player. Just completely inconsistent, wildly dramatic nonsense. So I wait for two things. One, the screenshot of something contradicting my prediction on cut line. And the other thing is, I wait for the Old Takes Exposed tweet. Should this be Old Takes Exposed? Yes. Please do that. Please do that. Nothing about my Twitter account, nothing should be construed for fact. If I was named with Ryan by one person who we blocked in previous years for some reason as the two worst touts in golf on Twitter. If I'm ever named a top tout in anything, I want someone to run me over with a boat. Period. I want to die that way. All right. Does that make sense? But I've said it a million times. It's, you know, it's like product development or brand creation. What influencers can we get to showcase this brand? Well, your influence, you've got infinite influencers around the world. You can be global in a second if it resonates with people. There's your influencer class. If you can't just put it, you can't just, you know, spin it with PR and put it your product in someone's hand and just expect everyone to think, oh, it's going to be great. That may get you a little lift in a short run. But there is a science and there is a desire by people to do deep dives on things that cost them money. And if it's any sort of inauthenticity, it will be found out. And it's the same for every media personality, everyone. Some people don't care. Some people love that noise. So, I'm not telling Bryson anything. He's a trillionaire. He's got his life ahead of him. He's a nice young man. He's developed something kind of different and interesting for sure. All right, some questions. I can't go long in these questions because my segment with Ryan with the Euro Tour being back is relatively long. So I'm going to blaze through this. After I take my next sip of seltzer water, zero calories, I'm kind of hungry right now. Hank Mardukas, does Brooks find any extra motivation after losing Blake of the Year? I guess that's an award given by Barstool. And his name's not Blake, so it's not surprising he lost Blake of the Year. Bobby Adcock, real Bobby Adcock, not the fake one. Could you please add Tony Finau to this week's contest? It's a very difficult play. At what price do you stop playing Tony Finau? Or what price would you always play him? 7,000? I mean, he's become a better putter. His ball striking's gone down the tubes. Karl Marx, low SF, what to do with Kyle Stanley? This lends itself to Jay Catarese's question, Jay Catarese's 5. Is there a Zoom meeting for those of us who only use bad putters on DraftKings? C. Grillo, Stanley, Hovland, closes computer. That's the ticket, because Stanley, how did Stanley treat you last week? Right? It's not unique. We all do it. On, been on, Grillo, Finau, not playing this week. I mean, Scheffler's a better price. It's tough. You want guys, players, who consistently have good iron play and can scramble well, can get out of trouble like a Webb Simpson, who may be the best bunker player in the world, and who can make putts within 10 feet, 6 to 10 feet, both for birdie and to save par. There is nothing better than knowing your player is likely going to make that 9-foot, 8-foot putt for birdie or eagle. Imagine Hovland could putt like that. That's the difference. How much Henley is too much Henley? From Joe Idone at Tour Picks. That is the Ryan Bear of hot take of the week, Russell Henley. I think, I don't know. I think he might be my busto this week. How many people will be eating Norlander chalk? That's the big one. I said it in the DraftKings segment next, and I'll say it with the Ryan. With the Ryan. Norlander, Ryan's been talking about for 3 weeks. I've been making fun of him for talking about it for 3 weeks. Well, lo and behold, Norlander has the best stats all week last week, tee to green approach. And he's 6,500. What, 27% owned? That could be a dangerous play. How's the golf game? Both of these are from Cross 1919. I stopped posting videos, Charlie Cross, Rosantinitis, because I got shamed out of it by Cess Peets, S. Goodman. I work on my swing every day. Ever since my hand injury, and I just don't have time to golf a lot, but I certainly work on my swing because I find it fascinating and very meditative. And it's coming along great. The latest addition that really has changed a lot of things for me is keeping the belt line level. I used to pop that left hip up and ground the club early. Also, not to flex my wrists on takeaway as much or at all. Nice smooth takeaway. Keep that belt line level. Man, it's changed everything. So maybe I'll post a video or two. I shouldn't be shamed out of it by my peers. Daniel Howell, how many shots will Bubba win by? Daniel Howell, what are you talking about? This has to be a fake account. Daniel H06031427. Daniel. Maybe that's Charles Howell, the third, just saying that. Billy Kotler. Kotler Billy on Twitter. I'm going zero Henley. Billy, you're a genius. Give me Damon at 90 to 1 in that range. Bang. Bang. Matt Ramos, Sombats 5. Hovland versus Morikawa. Hovland's been untouchable. Can he putt? Don't know. Frankie 5 Angels, are the greens going to be super fast? Historically at Muirfield, yes. This week, in this iteration, evidently no. But could you keep Detroit slow with that heat in the Midwest on Sunday? The greens were yellow and like glass. I don't know. Plus, it's very undulating. Sometimes you have sections that are faster than others. That's what happens with gravity. When things go downhill, things speed up. It's a little lesson for you. Retzi, final question. Guys call girls. Guys call girls. That's his Twitter handle. Interesting, Retzi. How far from behind does Xander win this from on Sunday? Ooh, good question. He won't, because there's one guy winning. Find out later in the podcast. Let's talk to Dane, and then Ryan, and then I'll leave you alone. All right, we're here with Dane Dalton. Dane, hi.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
You won the exclusive Golflandia contest last week, and you beat me.
That's all that matters right there, just, you know, having a better lineup than the great one.
Correct, because I played Will Gordon.
I saw that. A lot of people did, apparently. I didn't think he'd be that high, honestly. I heard a lot of talk about, like, Daniel Bryan being the chalk, and he kind of was, but I didn't think he would be that high as well.
Did you play any other contests and win any other money?
Yeah, I had a good week. I almost made 4K. So, but if I'd have played your lineup in a, you know, obviously like the one of the $100 that I whiffed on, yeah, it would have been a much better week. But I'm not complaining about 4K profit.
You live in Marion, Illinois.
Yes.
You work in the hotel industry.
I do. Yes.
Tell me about that industry right now. I'm very fascinated. Is it tough?
It's been pretty tough. Yeah. I want to say since early February is one of the most, like, the earliest time I can remember all the Corona stuff going down. And just ever since then, it's just been, it almost took my eye for a minute, just getting, like, that's all I dealt with, like, cancellations and refund requests. And, you know, I had a trip coming up planning, like, going to Vegas during that time, and I was worried about nervous going about that. It was just, it just took over my life for a minute. It was wild.
Is there a certain, you don't have to tell a hotel chain brand, but is there a certain room occupancy rate that has to be there to be sustainable for the business model to continue, much like Hertz has to rent X number of cars before they have to sell them all?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great
question.
Are you
at that threshold?
Yeah, I was about to say that's a little above my pay grade, unfortunately, but I would think so, but I know one month they said they were down, like, compared to last year, I think it was 90%, 91%.
Holy.
And that number was staggering to me. I was like, oh my gosh. You know,
right.
And I'm lucky to still have a job, I feel like, and, you know, I'm thankful for that. Although, you know, it can be a stressful job, but definitely thankful to still have it during this time.
Yes, most definitely. I agree. That's a good attitude. Now,
yeah.
Let's talk about this week and your team that I'm going to copy.
I had a nice pool last week. If I could repeat that, I'd be very happy.
Let me tell you about my experience with that. You won't. You may. You may go on a hot run.
Yeah.
How are you going to set up your team this week, considering pricing, if you've seen it already?
Yeah, I've taken a gander here. I'm trying to identify the chalk. I think it's going to be Cantlay up top, which it's going to be hard to get away from him, I think.
Hovland.
I like it. Is Hovland going to be chalky?
He's 9,500 or something. Yes.
I was thinking Rose maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I'm hearing Hideki talk already. And
yes, from me.
I think I'm going to fade Hideki. I think I'm going to fade Hideki.
So you're going to lose.
That might be the case this week, yeah. I saw you had a little conviction on him, so.
Yes.
If that's the case, if he's going to push 20-something percent ownership, I'm willing to fade him.
How do you set up your team? Do you leave money on the table? Do you go, you know, 10,000s and then some sixes, or how do you set it up? Typically,
here recently, I play mainly the single entries and three entry max, kind of like the mid to higher level buy-ins, maybe the $33, mm-hmm. the $100, $200. Try to get 20 teams and then whittle down my player pool to about 20. Usually, no more than 20. Like last week, I had 20 and got 15 guys through. So I had five teams, five of five, which those all did pretty well.
Anyone off the grid this week that you're looking at?
I mean, I'd like to dig down deep first. Like somehow I pulled Merritt out my ass last week at under 1% ownership. So I don't know how I did that one, but I don't know if he'll be chalky or not. But Norlander, his ball striking, he's gonna be chalky.
I just did a segment with Ryan, which comes on after this. So here's the big reveal. I had someone tell me that Norlander was going to win this week, and I called him insane. I apologize to that person on Twitter.
Because his ball striking stats from last week were incredible.
Insane, both on Sunday and all week. Now, he better on short courses, not a great putter, and it's Henrik Norlander. Then I see Josh Perry posts his article, and there's a picture of Norlander. Oh, Norlander is going to be 6,400, right?
65, yeah.
Nutso.
Yeah, that's way too cheap for what he's been doing.
And who else? Champ. Champ will be.
People Cameron Champ?
Yes, they can't get away from him.
What was he? He's in the higher sevens, isn't he?
77, but still.
Yeah, that's too much for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're sort of frugal.
I've never really played Cameron Champ, so I don't. He played well the other, you know. He's just not been one of my guys. Like, I'm looking. I think Damon's in that same area.
Yes.
I'm going to play Corey Connors, Harry Hubbard. V.
On Grillo.
Hubbard was one of my guys last week. He was there nice. What about Russell Henley? He kind of didn't play last week. I don't. He seems like a guy who could win a tournament, but I don't think he'll be high owned.
No, he can't win the tournament.
Yeah.
Dane.
Russell Henley?
You can call Ryan and you guys can have a chat about Russell Henry because he loves him. He loves him just as much as you.
I mean, he's won before. That's what I'm kind of looking back in these areas. If someone can get hot, you know, hit the greens, hit the putt. There's smaller greens here, so anything can happen. He's low owned. He's worth the gamble, I think.
You have one pick to win this week. Who wins?
One pick to win? Oh, man. I think it's going to have to be Cantlay. Cantlay's going to be my guy this week up top.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah.
It's a Cantlay, Matsuyama, Rose, Brooks sort of week.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think Brooks is going to be low on. He was actually, I'm debating on if I'm going to play like Cantlay, Hideki, Rose. Like, those are the three guys I wrote down, but I think I'm going to fade Hideki and maybe do a couple lines with Brooks.
I like it. Dane, thanks for staying up late, man. I know you got to work tomorrow.
I know. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Let me ask you this. Can you get me a suite at a five-star hotel for really cheap because it's low occupancy?
I mean, some of the hotels, it seems like some of the lower chain of our brand hotels, their rates have been lower, but some of the resorts and stuff, like, not many people are afraid of the Rona out there, it seems like.
My bigger question is, do you have the ability to go into a computer and put my name into a room without me paying for it?
I do have the potential to.
You would never do that.
I can do that. Yes, I am capable of doing that, but yeah, they might give me a call, you know?
Okay.
But I don't know what happened, man. All right. Take it easy, Wiley. Thank you for having me on.
And do not do that. Just turn.
I might get you your job. I'll DM. I might be able to get you a discount code or something, though.
All right,
man. I'll DM you. All right, take it easy. Tiger
Woods, y'all.
Ryan, what did we learn from the market mortgage? The Moroccan mortgage.
That you're ready for Euro. We learned Bryson hit ball far, and Bryson make putt from far.
Well, also you can play two styles in Detroit. You know, you could play a Ryan Armour. Plot your way around great tee to green, or bomb and gouge it like Bryson. The fairway rough, really wasn't.
The actual fairways? I mean, that shit was like concrete. I mean, Ryan Armour was flying at 260 and it was going 325. I mean,
Troy Merritt hit one 344.
Yeah, I mean Wesley Bryan too. I saw like 338. I was like, and then I turned it on. And I'm like, oh, well, this explains a lot.
By Sunday the greens were concrete too. A completely different course.
Yeah, no, I did not have a very good read on it. The week went really well until the weekend. I was pretty much, I had a ton of Bryson, a ton of Wolf, but I was all in Webb Simpson. And then I don't know what the heck happened. He, on Saturday, he missed every fairway and every five-footer. And then pretty much the same on Sunday. So that was surprising to see. And I know you and I were...
On Wolf?
No, Webb.
Oh, Webb. No, yeah.
I mean, that was... I did not expect that at all. Wolf did exactly what I thought he would do. He just made more birdies and eagles. I mean, I've never seen a guy score like he did on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, but he had three like 2 to 3 gain strokes putting on Saturday.
Yeah.
And kudos to the people who said he'd play well, he'd putt well here. Because a lot of that was trash and it was actually turned out to be accurate. And, but then on Sunday, it was just, you know, I think it just catches up with you. You can't maintain that. I mean, especially since the greens really changed overnight.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he was a lot. He killed me, of course. He denied me $1 million. So did Mark Hubbard.
Yeah, and, I can't complain too much about Hubbard. At least he kind of did what he wanted amazing. To. But yeah,
he just seemed like he ran out of gas. Like he just flat. Well,
that's what I'm a little worried this week because now this is what 5 or 6 weeks in a row for Hubbard. He's priced low again, so it's like we're gonna play him again. But you know, at some point he's gonna turn into Mark Hubbard.
Hey.
His Twitter handle is Homeless Hubbard. Come on.
His golf style, I mean, just his whole affect, the beard, the longish hair. It's just a cool vibe. It's very 70s.
Yeah.
All right, Muirfield. This is a Nicklaus course.
Yes.
And we usually play Memorial at a different point in the year. Well, not this year. So Mike Miller's notes, Workday Charity Open. This is from Green Square Golf. Greensquare.golf. Course form, course history, all in one, every tour, including Euro, which is back this week. Muirfield Village Golf, you want to add something to that, Reed?
No, that was good. I'm excited for Euro, but we can do the Nicklaus course first.
Okay. Muirfield Village Golf Club, Dublin, Ohio, 20 miles drive north of Columbus. He should just add, I should tell him this, just add something so obscure. Like 20 miles drive north of Wendy's in Dayton. Jack Nicklaus, that was funny, Ryan. You should laugh. Jack Nicklaus and Desmond Muirhead designed 1974, actually toughened since. Par 72, 7,300 yards, undulating, pristine, challenging. Guess what? It's a tree-lined parklands.
Oh, no way. Midwest?
Yep. It's got a lot of bunkers, a lot of water hazards, all in play on 11 holes, bent grass, POA, average width, nasty 3-inch Kentucky bluegrass, ryegrass, fescue, rough, although it may be shorter this year. Historically undulating fast, 13 stem, maybe 14 bent grass, POA, average size 5,000 square feet, which we've been used to over the last few weeks. Precision shot makers course, I agree. Greens and regs, par 4 scoring, scrambling. Now, I had my notes out from previous years. Mm-hmm. This course, in typical Jack Nicklaus style, has wide openings, wide landings off the tee in the fairway. It is a second shot course. He wants to challenge your irons. Look at historical winners here. Cantlay, Bryson, Matsuyama, even a Stricker or a Kuchar. Length has really been not a Willie McGirt. He won. Length has not been an issue here. It's more of a shot maker's course, second shot. If you are successful, you are rewarded by greens that are not too challenging. But if you miss, it's very punitive. A lot of bunkers, a lot of keyholes, not keyholes, key holes. Fundamentally important holes that are trapped by water. And the rough can be gnarly. The par fives, extremely scoreable. But in the greens, this year they say it's going to be an 11. But Ryan, you know, you've worked golf courses in your past. Can you really keep a course 4 days in the Midwest when it's 90 degrees and it's been this way for a while in Kentucky? Can you really keep it at 11? I mean, look at even Detroit.
Yeah. I mean,
by Sunday, it was yellow.
Yeah, I mean, you can if you don't roll them and you water them and don't cut them. But yeah, I mean, I think the angle that you have to look at is basically this is just a prep for next week, not just for the players, but for the groundskeepers as well. I don't think they're going to keep the greens as firm and fast as they want them next week. I also don't think they're going to use the hole locations that they want to use next week. So I do think you're going to see more central hole locations, which I guess could make them a little bit flatter. But I don't really care much about the green speed here because the greens are so undulated that they're going to play much faster. If you're above the hole, it's a 14 or 15 anyways. It's not an 11.
That's like the Augusta narrative that a lot of people challenge us on.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And
when you test the speed, you're in a certain flat spot.
Yes.
But it's so undulating, it's going to be a 19 in some spots.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I do think score is going to be very low here because I think they're going to use the middle of the green, which will have some flatter putts. I mean, I think historically the winners here are between 15 and 18 under. So you're probably going to see another minus 20 this week. I do think ball strikers are key. As you mentioned, I mean, just look at the guys who have won here. I mean, the young guys, Cantlay, Matsuyama, I mentioned Kuchar, Stricker, Tiger, McGirt, Duffner, like obviously these are ball strikers. I also think this is going to play pretty similarly to last week. I will look towards last week a lot, especially with the guys kind of near the top who played pretty well. Cough, cough, Adam Hadwin. But I think the other thing to keep in mind for this event is we've never seen a field quite this weak on this golf course. So like next week is what we're used to. So I think you have to kind of broaden your horizons a little bit with who you consider, just because the field is not as strong. I kind of characterize this as like a waste management type of field, like where you have a handful of studs. You know, in Phoenix, we always see Rahm, JT, Matsuyama, Fowler, Cantlay, Brooks. Like that's exactly who we have here. And those guys win. I mean, who's won Phoenix recently? Webb won this year. Last year was Fowler. Matsuyama won there. Brooks won there. I expect the same thing to happen this week.
I took into consideration not much different than we have in previous weeks. Maybe a more heavy emphasis on approach.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that in a second. But for the model purposes, TM, par five scoring, scrambling, par four, birdies are better, approach around the green, off the tee, tee to green, in a secretly weighted format. But obviously the cream floats to the top. Thomas, Matsuyama, Schauffele, Cantlay, Rahm, Reed, M, Morikawa. Munoz pops every week, but he's not been playing well. So for me, I am looking for, if we look at the guy, and this has been notably successful in terms of determining outcomes week to week. If you take the guys, especially Sunday, who played well approach and tee to green, and you're going to see some names of a lot of people thinking about the same players this week. We talked about one before the show. So if we look at day four, Sunday, tee to green, top from Detroit in this field, Straka, who you love, Champ.
I'm going to love this list. I can tell already.
You're going to love it because I think that Champ could win this week, which is a crazy thing to say. And it's going to get blown up in our text chats. Straka, Champ, Keegan, Norlander, hot pick of the week. What, 20% owned? Bird, Bryson, Hovland. That was tee to green on Sunday. Approach, Norlander again. And one guy on Twitter actually reached out to me. Actually, he tagged me in a post, and I called him an absolute. I didn't say that, but what did he say to me? Oh, fuck. Be prepared, Wiley. There it is. His name is Catch, Chach, 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 Chach 2018. He just replied to me when I said Hideki wins the workday going away. He just replied with a photo of Heinrich Norlander. And I know that photo because you always post it in our text chats. And he said, thank me later season.
That's right.
And I didn't believe him until I went through the stats. So approach last week, Norlander, Matsuyama, Love, Swafford, Straka, Bird, Hovland, Lonto, Hadwin. Hadwin is a very frustrating player, by the way. And I don't know why, because he finished fourth. But I wouldn't have imagined his approach was the best on Sunday. It seemed like, I said, every shot, 80 yards to the hole, he can't get it within 36 feet.
Yeah, he's exceptionally frustrating because, yeah, that's what he's supposed to be good at. He's supposed to be a great putter, but when I roster him, he doesn't putt well.
No.
He gained strokes in every category last week, but I don't think he gained a stroke in any. He gained like half a stroke putting, half a stroke chipping, half a stroke approach, half a stroke off the tee. And I guess that's good because he's consistent and he's got some upside, but like he's either going to miss the cut or win, I feel like.
Yes. He's like a Hubbard-ish, maybe plus, but maybe he just doesn't like Poa mixed greens. I don't know. Tee to green all 4 days. Hovland, again, cannot putt. Norlander, Matsuyama, Armour, Harold Varner. Approach, Norlander, Swafford, Hovland, Armour, Matsuyama. What are you looking at for those guys coming in this week?
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of those same guys for sure. Obviously, yeah, Norlander is going to be interesting because he's priced up a drop. He's at 7,000, I think, this week. And I mean, I played him back at Travelers at 0.95% owned. He was low single digits last week, and now that's going to get a bump. So my one concern about Norlander, I mean, number one, he's a horrendous putter. That could hurt you here. And he tends to do better on shorter courses, and this is not. He is good on par fives because he's a good wedge player, but if he's going to be, you know, 8%, 10% owned, I just don't think it's worth it.
He's 6,500 this week, Ryan. He's not $7,000.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what really stood out to me because he's been
6,500 last week. Yeah,
he's 6,500 this week.
Oh shit! All right, well, I'm going to play him again. yeah, I think that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, these last few weeks. Like, even though they're kind of different courses, I think last week is a good indicator of this week. I thought Travelers was a good indicator of last week. So, like,
yes.
if there are guys who you've been playing and maybe they had one bad round, even one bad week, like, don't hop off. You know, last week I went right back to Cameron Tringali after he sucked at Travelers. He was great. Went right back to Adam Hadwin. He was great. I was all in on Rory Sabatini last week for 8,800. You think I'm going to play him for
– Not great.
Yeah. Now he's $1,500 cheaper. I'm going to play him again.
You're crazy, dude.
I just think don't give up on these guys too easily. But you mentioned Varner. I don't know why he's so cheap. He's been good, and he makes so many birdies. I think you have to play him again. The only guy that I don't agree with you that you mentioned is Cam Champ. I have a feeling he's going to be more popular than he should. And he's another guy. He kind of got through last week with smoke and mirrors. And I think, you know, he's not hitting enough fairways and he doesn't putt well enough. I just don't want to play him here.
I think the fact that he's 7,700, if he was 83, not as popular, but it's just that price, that little bit of a discount, sub 78, just psychologically, he'll be extreme. And someone else in that range, Ben On, will be extremely popular.
Yes.
To me, all right, so if that's the model. It came out with Thomas, Matsuyama, Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Rom Reed, and Morikawa, Munoz, Woodland. Can't disagree with any of it, minus perhaps Munoz because of form. Some value on the board. Duh. Maverick McNealy, albeit his tee to green wasn't fantastic last week, but he's kind of like a Hubbard, even a Hubbard plus from a putting perspective. McNealy's an amazing putter. He's 7,500. He's like a Hubbard. He's almost an automatic. Gets a lot of birdies and is all and makes cuts. Ortiz, he came up on this list. Ortiz, a good ball striker, 6,400. Gary Woodland, don't you find that he's priced a little low this week for Gary Woodland in this field?
I've had quite enough of Gary Woodland. I did follow my rule. Wow. I followed my rule. I went back to him at Heritage. I went back to him at Travelers, and it sucked twice, and his price has not gone down. So, yeah, he is too cheap, but he's just really not playing well.
Ryan Palmer, 72 for Ryan Palmer?
Yeah, I mean, that's cheap. This is the range where the week's going to be made. You not only have like those sort of guys with upside, but then you have the guys that played well. You have Armour. You have Hubbard, right? All those guys from last week. You have Rory Sabatini. You have Shane Lowry. I think in this range, you have to make your decisions, and then you can pick anybody from the top because they're all good options.
Richie Wawrinski.
Yeah. As I said in our chat last week, I don't know how that guy has a tour card. He does not do anything well.
He was definitely maxing out Richie Wawrinski last week. Samus Power is a really good player, by the way. he, like I said, that he was going to be the nuts at 6,000, like about 15 minutes before lock.
Just only can't because putt.
It was a random thought. He should have been 25 under.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the worst putting displays. Every time I looked, he was missing a putt inside of like 3 feet.
Yes. Yes. And so was Hovland.
Yeah.
All right. For me, eyeballs model. I think Matsy, this is an insane thing to say, and I apologize to everyone for saying it. I apologize to you for saying it, Ryan, because when you said it last week, I yelled, Jesus Christ. But I believe that Matsuyama is going to get some payback here for the players canceling when he shot, what, 40? And it was a runaway victory, and it was canceled. I think Matsuyama has had enough rust shaken off now. He was fifth in approach last week, second on Sunday. He's won here before. I think he's going to win. I also like some really terrible golfers. Norlander. Why did I put these on this list? Champ. I like Hovland. Bad putter. Cantlay. I think Matsuyama Cantlay. 1-2-2-1. Neiman. Is that terrible? Yes. Palmer. Why? Woodland. My God. Morikawa. Not playing great. And then Justin Rose. Probably the top three are Matsuyama. Probably four, Hovland, if he can putt anything. Cantlay and Rose.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because for DraftKings, there's a very clear number one due to price, and that's Victor Hovland. There, I mean, he should be priced up with Cantlay and Brooks
10-2.
And Rahm. He's 9,500. So for DraftKings, like, Hovland is the clear number one. If I'm just going for, you know, win probability, I would say it would be between Cantlay, Brooks, and Hideki would be like my three to win. I think Matsuyama is the biggest risk, has the biggest range of outcomes. Patrick Cantlay, I was locked on him at Travelers. He sucked and like finished 10th. So there's no reason to get off of him. And then Brooks obviously was playing really, really well before he had to withdraw as well.
But as a, like Bryson last week was 11 plus.
Yeah.
And you had to play him and he won.
Yeah. Cause there were no other options beyond Webb really, you know,
but Hideki's 10
mm-hmm.
and a very decent, good shot to win.
Yeah. I just think, I think every one of my lineups is going to have Victor Hovland. So that's one spot. And yeah.
27% out.
Yeah, maybe more. And I'm going to play Brooks or Cantlay. It's just going to be hard to get Matsuyama with that. I guess you could get three if you play like Norlander plus another guy in the sixes. But I think Brooks is going to win. He's the only guy that I bet. I think he's going to win.
Rose 9,700, a good discount. Very popular. The ones that are going to – like Reed played terribly, burned a lot of people. 8,800, he'll be very low owned just because people can't get over that week to week, including me.
People.
Scotty Scheffler, maybe what, 2% owned?
Well, here's the thing about Scheffler. He's
played
now
great.
Well, yeah, he played great Friday, but you know, he went from 9K back to the sevens where he should be. Like Patrick Reed went from like the tens, but he's still 8,800. So, like, if I'm going to gamble with bad guys like a Rory Sabatini, like guys who played bad last week that you want to bounce back, at least play guys in the sevens, not guys in the eights and nines.
Matt Kuchar, 8,500.
Yep.
All right. Who's your, well, let me hear my, picks in the ranges.
Yep.
We'll go one for one here.
All right.
In the 10 plus the big boy range. I said Matsuyama only because I believe he'll win. And I think 10,000 is value at that point.
Yeah, I'll take Brooks with Cantlay 1B, very close.
What's Brooks? 10-4.
Yeah, he's 10-4. Yeah.
Good price. In the nines, Rose, there's not a lot of 9,000 players. Rose and Hovland.
Hovland and Hovland.
Yes.
No, 8,000. Wait, I'll take that back. Hovland and Fowler. How's that? since you're going to pick two.
Fowler's an interesting one. He's only 9K and he played okay.
He's just too cheap. Yeah. I mean, he could be your third guy in. I mean, you could play Matsuyama, Hovland, Fowler very easily.
Yeah.
I just gave you your team. You're welcome.
In the eights, Leishman will be very popular, but he is underrated, one of the better approach players on tour and putters, and does a lot of things well. He's not a very, at times, not a very accurate driver of the ball, but I think you can get away with that more here. Leishman, Neiman. Neiman's been playing really well week to week. Great iron player, terrible putter, and then Hadwin. Probably not the smartest move.
No, I mean, Hadwin's the cash play for sure. Neiman is the GPP play. Here's the thing with Neiman. He was playing great. I mean, better than everyone. Almost won Harbor Town. He was like 20% owned at Travelers. And people are going to see that he tied for 63rd and forget that he started 68, 66, 68. He played great. Mm-hmm. He had one bad round. And now he's going to go from 19% owned to 8% owned. At a course that he's made two cuts with a top 10. I mean, he's an awesome GPP play this week.
Sevens. This is the tough side.
Yes.
This is where you make your money.
You can't just pick two from this range, can you?
I pick three.
All right.
Well, I've really got five that I have to pick three from. I think on... I've missed course history, historical form at this course, on who's playing this week. From top to bottom. Matsuyama, Cantlay, Rose, Kuchar, Grillo, on. And so that got me in the sevens. Like I like Cameron Champ. I think a lot of people will like him too at that price. On, because he said he loves this course. He doesn't know what about it, but he loves it. Irons. And then Grillo, sadly. That's such a killer combination to put Grillo and on in there. But I also like Armour and Hubbard too, right?
So, here's the thing. I think you're picking the right guys if this was Memorial. I just think the course is going to play differently. And like, I want the upside. Like, if it's going to play harder, I want Benny on. I want Griot. I want Corey Connors. But this week, where I think you're going to need to make a lot of birdies, right? I mean, give me Maverick McNealy, give me Russell Henley, give me Vegas. Like, I want guys who are just going to make birdies. I mean, even Champ, I guess, is okay. I just don't want the par makers this week.
I don't consider On and Grillo par makers, sir.
I think Joel Damon is the other one. I think he is very, very viable. He's just been super consistent, top 20, top 30 every week, but he does have some upside. He can squeeze in a top five, top 10.
Sixes. I have four. Straka. Ortiz.
He's 7K.
Straka's not.
Yeah, he's 7K. But it's okay. We'll count him because he should be
6K. Let me see. Wait.
Because he should be
6K. This is from our friend, Chris Durrell, Jager Bombs. On Twitter, it's Jager_bomb. And then insert a number.
He's 7,000.
1 through 100.
But we can
7,000?
Yeah, but it's okay. We can count him because he should be 6,900.
Mother of pearl. You're right. Fuck. I mean, darn. Okay, that makes things easy because then I can go Adam Long, always play long. Right?
He always miss cut when we play him, but yeah.
Ortiz. And then what about Nick Taylor? Too soon?
I mean, the model likes Nick Taylor, but I don't know what the hell he's been doing for a month. He didn't play any of these events. I mean, what was he doing?
He's counting his cash from Pebble Beach.
Yes, he did win. He's too cheap for sure. I think, again, I'm going to play the guys who have been playing. And to stick with my trend of guys who have been playing well and making a lot of birdies, obviously Norlander would probably be number one on that list. Burns, who I played a lot last week, including showdown every single day and, and weekend. And he was pretty infuriating, but he's a good putter and a good driver. He just makes a lot of birdies. So, I mean, Norlander for sure. Burns for sure. I guess the only other one, just because he's been really good and is now dirt cheap for no reason, is Ortiz. I mean, everyone was playing him for 7,600, 7,000, and now he's 64. I mean, this guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, this guy can finish top 20, right? But yeah, this is a pretty bad range overall. And I think that plus how good the 7K range is means I'm going to be a little more balanced this week than normal.
Yes. Probably maybe skip the eights.
Yeah. I mean, I could easily skip the eights, do like a balanced, you know, 3-9s and 3-7s or something, or a 10, 2-9s and 3-7s, something like that.
Who's two questions. Who's the most infuriating player to roster based on last week?
Based just on last week.
Who absolutely raised their portfolio to an all time high? There's one name.
I had a lot, but I mean Richie was troubling.
Tony Finau.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of Finau, but yeah, that was bad. I mean, on Sunday especially, but it was great because Saul had him on Sunday, and that made the text chat very, very good.
Busto this week.
Yep.
I gotta say Wolf, 8,100.
Yeah, I don't know how we categorize Busto, but I would say yes, it is very unlikely that he pays off that price. He might finish 40th, right? Or something like that. But he's gonna be owned and he got a price hike. I would say my Busto, this is not really gonna be a hot take because he hasn't been great, but I think
Here's Busto, popular cultish hot takes track insiders like Bezendehut last week. Who missed it.
Okay. In that case, I would say I guess it could be Scheffler. I'm gonna say Justin Rose. I think people go back there and I think they get burned again.
Are you insane? No way. Justin Rose is he's top five.
It should be, but what did he do at Travelers? He did the same thing. He's just started hitting every ball in the water for no reason. But
there is a lot of water here.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, I mean, I think with Rose too, there are just, he's in between Hovland, Matsuyama. Like, yeah, they're just better options there.
All right, who's your pick to win?
Brooks. The only right. pick.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do some doubles with, I think I included Cantlay and Matsuyama as choices 2 and 3, but the big bets are on Brooks.
All right. This week, we're back to Euro.
Oh, thank God.
God bless the European Union.
Yeah, God bless Austria.
Yes. So the Austrian Open, quickly. This course, it's in Atzenbrugg, Austria, Diamond Country Club. 1.25 hours drive northwest from, from Vienna, from a Vienna Burger King. Architect, Jeremy Pern, 2002. Flat, watery, lightly tree-lined parklands. Tree-lined parklands.
Mm.
Go think.
No way.
Go. Who would have thunk it? Par 72, 7,500 yards, water hazards, lakes and ponds on 9 holes, especially greenside. Average width, rough is short, second cut, extremely penal. Greens, perfect, undulating, and fast. Not a great field, Ryan.
Euro greens and are never no fast. Form. I don't believe that.
Never. They're never difficult, and they're never fast. The biggest deficiency, as we've always said, the leap from the Euro Tour to here is short game. The putting will make your brain leak out of your ears. But alas, no form in any of these players. You've got course form, but that's it. It's a complete swag. Yep. Where are you going?
Very tough one. So again, I started where I always start, and that's with Antoine Rosner. the first bet that I made today, 50-1. I've been betting him forever. He had a second place, but he won a French mini tour event 2 weeks ago. Don't know who he was playing against. He could have been the only guy in the field. I don't know. But he won, and I like that he played, and I like that he won. So he's 50-1, and he's like 8,500 on DraftKings, so kind of an easy like average salary plug, and then you figure out the rest. Usually in these situations, you know, off of layoffs in weak fields, I'll tend to go to our usual young guns, thinking you know, they see it as an opportunity for them to get their first win. Looking at Dietrich, looking at Adrie, like if they don't win here, they're not going to win. But then you look above them and you see Jaus Lauten. He is also a historical, he's a killer in weak fields and he's a killer on certain golf courses. And you look here at his course history is 3-1, 3-6, 7. And all of those were in fields that were much stronger than this. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy who probably has a floor of about fourth place. He's healthy. He's on a break. Like, I'm probably going to go there.
You could have got an all French team.
I might do an all French
team. For sure. Sicri, Roussel, Rosner, your guy. Saddier.
Love Saddier, yeah.
Right. For me, Lauten obviously class the field. You cannot miss an Adrie win. Has he won yet?
No. And neither has Dietrich.
How can you not say Dietrich? You've got like hats with Thomas Dietrich on it.
Yeah. He's like 8-1.
Or Gagly.
Yeah, that was the other one. I loved Gagly, and then I saw he was like 30-1. I'm like, what the hell is going on? But then I looked at the field. Yeah, I mean, I like them all. I just feel like I'm going to take the floor with some upside with Lauten. And the other guy that I like is Connor Syme.
Yes, I knew you'd say that.
He's been you know, he was always a guy who he played in like the high sixes, low sevens, like 125-1 type guy, and I was solid. He finished runner up here. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but obviously played well here, and that was in a full Euro event. He's been playing well for about the last 8 months to a year, and I mean, weak field, why not? So he's about 25-1. That would be the other guy that I bet in addition to Rosner.
I like Lauten. I like Højgaard, even though he may not be the good Højgaard brother. It's got to rub off.
They both hit it far, and they're both good, yeah.
John Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Adrie Arnaus.
Yep.
And here's your winner, Ryan. Mark it. He's in the Thomas Peters mold. He's Italian. He can hit it a mile.
Laporta?
All guts.
Oh, Paratore. Yeah.
Right. All guts.
He's been I don't know what – his golf game is going to be like. He's been partying in Dubai with Guido for about 4 months.
Well, that was a fucking waste of a bet then.
Yeah, no. Gurus and Jesus have kept me abreast on his shenanigans. And he basically – they bought an apartment in Dubai, rented an apartment with their two girlfriends, and have just been posting on Instagram for about 90 days or so.
What an absolute disaster of a thought that was then. Fine. I'll replace it with Heinrich Steerhead. Great putter, Swedish.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I mean, I'm just hoping for Rosner, but I mean, yeah, I would really expect either Lauten, Adrie, or Dietrich to win this week.
There's two players from Iceland. Did you see them?
I did. I scrolled through. This is a very interesting field. Gundmundur Kristjansson. That was one of them.
Yes. And Haraldur Franklin Magnus.
Ah, yes. I do like playing the random Scandinavians myself. So there's got to be a guy from Denmark who I can play for like 6,100 or something.
Okay. This is the part where I would have said Connor Syme. I knew you were going to say him. Now, I will guess two players way down the board that you're thinking of playing or betting.
All right.
You ready?
I actually have one on my DK team. I didn't bet any, but let's see if you can get who I have on the DK team. Yeah.
De La Riva?
Nope. Lower.
It's got to be – it can't be Greg Bourdais. It's got to be Scott Fernandez.
I do like Fernandez. He's in consideration. Yeah, I will say that. No, there's a – I think there's a random guy from Denmark who I played in the Made in Denmark or something. So, I don't know. He made a cut, so I'm going to play him.
Martin Ovesen?
No, who is it? Maybe he's not from Denmark. Christensen. Yeah, something Christensen. There's two of them. So,
yes, Nikolai Kristjansson.
Yeah, exactly. Top five. He's like 6,100 on DraftKings, and he allows me to fit juice. So, I'll play him.
All right, man. Great week.
Yes,
great week of discussion.
Some doubles. Lots of juiced, lots of Brooks. Let's do it.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right, I went long this week, so I'll go quickly. I will leave you with three things. One, Hideki Matsuyama wins the Workday PGA Tournament, the Professional Golfers Association Tournament. In Europe, at the Austrian, I was going to go Paratore, but the information about Paratore and Guido Milioggi sharing a bachelor pad does not bode well to a win off out of the gate. Let's go Arnaus. Let's go Arnaus right out of the gate winning on the Euro Tour. Adri Matsuyama. The third thing I'll leave you with is some soft, great riff, 80s music that you had heard before for your entire life, but could never name the song. Have a great week.